This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. It's Tuesday the 12th of March. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my absolutely lovely co-host, the lovely...
Riding a bike.
Miss on a bike. How you doing?
I'm good.
Cool. I can't see you today. Hold on. I'll move.
What's
no,
happened?
I can see you now.
What's happened?
Screen's in the way, but I couldn't be bothered to move it.
Oh, nice.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah. Good. What have you been up to? Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah.
Ranting. Are you ready for it?
I beg your pardon.
I know. It's unheard of, isn't it? But I've been ranting.
Ranting?
Ranting, you know.
Ranting? No, I'm just staggered.
I know, yeah. Right? Yeah. I know. I've had some real challenges.
Have you?
And it will really get you on the rant.
Oh, will it? Go on.
Yeah. Are you sure you want to do
this?
Yeah,
go for it. Go on.
Okay, so Jack's been trying to get special support for his autism to take his theory test for his driving.
Right, okay, yeah.
Now, here's the miracle. One, we never thought he'd ever drive. Two, he's decided. So this is a really big thing in our family.
Yeah.
Can we get through
mm-hmm.
to the disability section? They call themselves care and support at the DVLA. No. It takes, get ready for this because you're going to go into it, 4 touch points before you can get to a human being.
Yep.
I asked them, can I give you some feedback on this? Because, you know, coming from a normal person, you know, it's quite difficult for me, but think how you would be if you were my son. They said, we don't take feedback. I said, what do you mean you don't take? Oh, wait for it. You haven't heard the best of it yet. We don't take feedback. I said, well, I'd like to give you some feedback. I said, because honestly, I want you to get the service because you're discriminating. And I used all the words. I used them all.
Yeah.
And he went, right, okay, well, I am hearing you. I said, look, can I have your boss? We don't have a boss here. I said, you don't have anybody that you report to? No. I know, right, Nettie? I'm like dying at this point. I'm like, right, can I have an email address that I can talk to somebody so that I can support people not to have this horrific service that we've had with you? Well, I can hear you now. I said, and what will you do with this feedback? Wait for this. Nothing.
Actually said that out
DVLA. Please contact me.
Yeah.
I would love to help you build an amazing customer service and not discriminate against a disability.
And this is a dedicated line for
support.
This purpose.
That's correct.
Excellent news.
I know, right? Somebody said to me, what are you going to do? I said, don't you worry, I'm on Business Bunker. It's coming out.
Yeah.
Wow.
I tell you, if I had more time, I'd tell you my DVLA story from years ago.
I just want you to have somebody on the end of the phone. I don't even need 3 touch points before I don't hear somebody. I want a human being. It's called a support for disability people. The minute I pick up a phone, there should be a human at the end of it. That's it.
But there aren't any humans in DVLA. That's the problem.
That's what I found out. That's why there's
not.
No point feeding
them. They're not. They're all
you don't need to feed them.
They're aliens. They are all aliens disguised as people.
You can't love his honesty, haven't you? What are you going to do with this?
What's the point? You can have an email. You can have an email address.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay, where is this going to go to?
Nowhere.
Very quickly, I'll very quickly tell you my DVLA story. About 20 years ago, I did a consultancy assignment for the DVLA in Swansea, and I did a leadership program for them on a Saturday, and I got to Swansea the night before, and I parked my car, because I was staying in a hotel opposite the DVLA, and I parked my car in a DVLA car park where it was broken into and trashed, and everything was stolen out of my car. But I went to work in a DVLA on the Saturday, and I did the first part of the program, and it got to lunchtime, and I said, okay, what are we doing for lunch? And they said, oh, we all bought our own. And I went, okay, I'll go out and get some. And they went, no, you can't do that, because if you go out, you can't get back in. And I went, well, can't you let me in? No. So I said, okay. And then they all went and got coffee, and I said, can I get coffee? And they went, no, because you haven't got a staff pass.
Did anyone get you a coffee?
No,
did anyone share an apple?
No, I was there 9 hours. I had nothing to eat, nothing to drink, and I was scared to go to the toilet in case I could get out again. And then the police arrived, South Wales Police, and they said, we'd like to see Mr. Andrews, please. I said, that is me. And they said, why have you been spreading your stuff all over Swansea? And I said, I haven't. My car's broken into, as you would know, because I reported it to Swansea Central Police Station. And they went, we're not from Swansea Central.
And?
And there we go.
And there we go. That was...
Welcome to Business Bunker, everybody.
How many years ago?
So, hello.
How many years ago was that?
It was about 20-odd years ago.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's good to know that since then...
They've not improved. They've done absolutely nothing. And do you know why, Nettie?
Go on.
Because they don't do feedback, that's why.
So people are still going there,
yeah,
having no lunch, getting no coffee, scared to use the loo.
So here's the saddest thing. Do you know what? Jack has had to try and get... theory, he can't get any support now. They just won't engage with him at all. Mm. So what he's done is just booked it normally.
Mm.
So he has to now go in. I'm like, oh my, this is just so wrong.
It's
you can't even go in person. It is beyond me.
But do you know what? There's also part of me, put your business heads on, right? If that's what they're going to do with that department, why don't they just shut it down?
Mm.
Because there is no point in having it.
It's right. Save some money.
At least you put some money back in the pot.
But it just is beyond me. So I actually said these words because we're so used to this discrimination.
Yeah.
You know, we've had this for years, and I've been sort of taken a bit by surprise because I hadn't had it for such a long time. Because where Jack's grown, he's taken on the responsibility of being discriminated against, which has just been wonderful for me, really, as the parent and over. And that's the honesty of this.
Mm.
But the saddest thing about all of this is I said to him, well, what do we do with it? He said, well, so I'm going to really try and do something. This is crazy.
Mm. Yeah.
It's just a tick box.
Yeah. Mm.
They've got this office. Well done.
Yep. Oh, yeah, it's like most things that are done like that, isn't it?
It's
just
sad.
They just go through the motions and go, yeah, we've done that. Yeah, because we can show you a headed piece of paper that says we've done that.
It's brilliant. It's genius, actually.
Yeah.
Well done.
Well done, you.
Cool. Anyway, enough of that. DVLA, get your act together now. Quickly,
you start hashtagging them in everything.
Yeah, that's you know that's the thing to that is the thing that to do is to go to is to go tonto on social media and just embarrass them and just keep embarrassing them until somebody decides to do something, which will be never. Because
I was just going to say,
well, they can't leave because they can't get back in. Yeah,
but they can't have any feedback either. So.
No, don't do feedback. Oh, no.
And half your car is across Swansea.
Yeah.
Anyway, there we go.
Cool. Anyway, listen, we'd like to hear from you. The businesses out there in the southeast of England, you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford 01233 220035. You can email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at Vanilla Web and to use the hashtag #BeBunker. We have already had quite a number of tweets, and we'll read them out. And we've got some emails, and I've got some interesting stuff we're going to talk about. But more than that, we've got three fabulous guests that we're going to hear from as the show unfolds.
That's a nice word.
Is it?
Yeah, nearly as good as word as you've brought out today.
I'm going to do that straight away.
Do
Should
it.
We go straight for
Let's
it?
Let's just do it.
Yeah. I got this email a couple of days ago, and there's a number of elements to this email. And it's quite long, and I'm going to read it all because it is a very important thing. But it also introduced me to a term that I wasn't familiar with, but I recognised and bought into straight away. But it's kind of a side issue. So let's go with the email first. It's called From Cancer to Cuddywomple. Yeah? A story of love, loss, and daring to dream. Have you ever had one of those days, a day where one call changes the rest of your life? Well, Wendy Jennings had one of those calls from her father on the 19th of December 2011. The call was to say her mum was in severe pain. 9 months later, she had lost both of her parents to cancer. From Cancer to Cuddywomple follows Wendy's journey through her parents' illnesses and how she rebuilt her life after losing them both within weeks of each other in 2012. You can travel with her as she embarks on her life on her trip of a lifetime to Bali and to Australia. Her Cuddywomple blogs to let friends and family know she was okay were never meant to be other than personal musings, but writing with such warmth and humour, she was encouraged to share her experiences with a much wider audience. She says, ovarian cancer careered into my family's life in 2012 when my mother was finally diagnosed. Sadly, her symptoms had been missed by the GP. Mum underwent grueling chemotherapy, but the cancer spread to her liver. She developed blood clots on her lungs and passed away 9 months later. Dad was also taken ill during Mum's illness, and he passed away just 5 weeks before her from esophageal cancer. I felt lost and without a purpose after they went. I wasn't a daughter anymore, and I don't have siblings. So who was Wendy? After a lot of soul-searching, I decided to go on a once-in-a-lifetime trip. From Cancer to Coddywomple is a beautiful, true account of loss and love, and one that will give the reader hope to carry on whatever life or death throws at them. Wendy Jennings is 50. She's the Coddywomple lady, is the author of From Cancer to Coddywomple and a Reiki practitioner based in Tunbridge Wells in Kent. She lives with Tim, her other half, her soulmate, her best friend, and her Coddywomple companion. If you want to find out more about her blog, then it's
World Wide Web.
Thank you. The Coddywomple lady.com.
I was in it then, you know, when you just you're in the zone, weren't you? Wow.
Yeah. You can buy the book, and the book you can buy from her website, as we just said, thecoddywomplelady.com, and it's also available in local independent bookshops, so do check that out. And thank you to Wendy for introducing me to the term coddywomple.
Well, it's brought us a whole morning of looking up what is the word, yeah. the origin of it.
Well, I relate to being a coddywomple, and it's a coddywomple describes me entirely, and in the past few months, I've ranted once or twice or a dozen times about the fact that I don't believe in goals, and I don't set goals or plans because I am in fact a coddywomple.
Which is?
A coddywomple is someone that sets off with a determined purpose to a vague destination.
I know, right?
I like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But it's so, no origin of the word. It's a new word.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm. So, and I relate to that. That is me. I go forward, and they go, where? I go, I don't know. Somewhere. So, Wendy, thank you for that. Thank you for raising a very important issue with the book. And also, thank you for introducing me to the word coddywomple, which is now one of my favourite words.
There you go.
Buy the book. That's all I'm saying. Buy the book.
Yeah.
That's
and
the thing to do.
He's got a label.
Mm.
We know what it is.
Yes. He's not a visionary.
No.
He's a coddywompler.
He's a coddywompler.
Coddywomple.
Womple.
Yeah.
Are you not a wompler?
I could be.
Good.
I could work towards being a wompler, couldn't I?
Who knew?
Remember, you're a wompler. Wasn't it Uncle Buck?
I was just thinking that.
Yeah. Uncle Beryl Gerrier.
Going through my head.
Cool. What you got then, bud?
Well, we got some tweets coming through. Mm. So we've got AM Marketing from Digital Women yesterday. So that was a big thing that went on, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was
Lucy Hall.
Lucy came in with us last month, isn't it?
Yeah. And I hope you're feeling better, Lucy. She wasn't very well during the event, was she?
Oh.
No.
That's awful, isn't it? Mm. You got a room full of 250 women and you literally have to go because she was being unwell.
Oh, bless her.
So, mind you, with a room full of 250 women, at least you get sympathy. If it was 250 blokes, they go, can you go somewhere else to stop coughing, for crying out loud?
And there we go. I can't entertain that conversation. I'm not going there. We got AM Marketing, and this is Morning Paul, Business Bunker. We would love a tweet out. We're just on our way to NYC to train our clients' New York office in YouTube and video ads. AM in NYC. There you go, Amy. She's all over the shop.
Yeah. They're in the Big Apple, are they?
That's where they're heading.
Fantastic. Well, have a lovely time.
That's a rough job, isn't it?
Mm.
Somebody's got to do it, haven't they?
Mm. Cool. I've had a tweet from Kim Stevens of Care in Kent, and she says, good morning, Business Bunker. I would love, with a heart, a Business Bunker shout out for my devoted community carers who are out and about battling the weather to keep vulnerable adults safe and warm in their own homes. Thank you. So that's Care in Kent. Do give Kim a follow on the Twitter. And a huge shout out to all her lovely community carers. Keep on keeping on.
Well, Oregon Training have said to us, great to listen in today. Already cheered us up on a grotty day. And that it is. You are absolutely welcome.
It's a bit blowy out there, isn't it?
Blowy? We were out on a bike yesterday. It was a killer.
Was it?
Yeah.
Were you cycling into a headwind?
Yep. How is this? You cycle into a headwind, you turn around, you cycle back into a headwind.
How'd you manage that?
I don't know. I don't know. It's the physics. It's the logic of the marsh.
Were you on the bike backwards? What were you doing?
I'm telling you. I'm like, how is this normal? Go figure.
Wow, that's weird.
There you go.
I've had a tweet from Michael Park Surveyors, and they say, Vanilla Web, we'd love a Business Bunker shout out today, please, if possible. Of course it's possible. You're always welcome. That's Michael Park Surveyors, commercial surveyors and agents based over there in Medway.
Well, we're about to go viral with hashtag DVLA Gov UK. So we've got it going already. So we've got Butterflies Events. Thank you, Amanda. She's for High Burden of Bike and Vanilla Web. Have a great Business Bunker show today. Great to hear you rant for a change. That's me.
Yeah.
And she's put DVLA Gov UK sorted out, people. People want to give feedback. Listen and use it.
Absolutely. They're in trouble now.
Oh, it's going viral.
They're in trouble now that Amanda's on the case, let me tell you.
Let's start retweeting that, shall we?
Yeah, absolutely. As Amanda's been on and she's in a feisty mood, I better read her email, hadn't I?
May the force be with you then.
Absolutely. This is coming up later this year. It's the Tech Expo UK. It's being held at the Clive Empson Suite, which is part of the Kent Events Centre up at the Agricultural Ground at Detling. It's taking place on Thursday the 26th of September between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. And it's the first ever event of its kind in the southeast of England. It's a full-day exhibition for business owners wanting to connect with suppliers who can help them run, build and grow their business with the power of technology. Meet with over 100 suppliers from different sectors of technology, including IT support, cyber security, software suppliers, digital marketing and online accountancy and cloud-based organisations. Hear from 5 fantastic speakers and take part in 5 interactive workshops. The speakers include, there's a keynote from Brian Sutton of Microsoft, how Microsoft is developing to help your business. There's Richard Bell, who's the Chief Technology Officer of 10 Intelligence, and he's talking about cyber security. Ben Abbott, who's the CEO of Maximum Media, getting your business ready for voice technology. Will Charlesworth from Cripps Law, talking about digital law. And Bill Burton from the Dale Carnegie Organisation, with a twist on this, being human in a digital world. So there you go. And then there's workshops. Google partner Amy McManus of AM Marketing. I guess you'll be back from New York by then. Keeping your business ahead in the digital marketing game. Then there's Aaron Taylor, CEO of 62 Tech. Stop the sales pitch, start the conversation. These are workshops that are going to be happening. And then there's Mike Hacker, commonly known as Hacks, who's the CEO of Prisma Broadcast. How the proper use of video can propel your business forward. Zoe Cairns will be there, as did see social media, having an adaptable content strategy plan, and Claire Derbyshire from LinkedIn talking about how to use LinkedIn for your business. If you're a supplier who doesn't want to miss the opportunity to showcase your brand to hundreds of key buyers and business owners who are looking for the right tech to help them with their business, meeting face-to-face with them in a buzzing trade show environment, contact us for more details about exhibition packages. If you go to techexpouk.com, that's tech, T-E-C-H, expouk.com, you can find out all about it.
Love it.
Fantastic. Looking forward to that.
We've got Marsh Breakfast Networking. That's on Thursday, the 21st of March. And that's at 7.45 till 9.15 in the morning. And that's at the Ship Inn at Dymchurch. And then you've got Take Control Workshop, which is on the 28th of March in New Romney. Is your business running you, or are you in control? Are you achieving all you want from your business for the hard work you put in? If not, come along to the Take Control Workshop. And that's on the 27th of March in New Romney. You can book it through www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/marshnetwork.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Venom Tech. And they doubled up on this tweet. They're clever.
Why? What are they doing?
Well, Steve's a scientist. He's a doctor and everything, right? So they've managed to get 2 tweets in one here. It's from Venom Tech. And it says, we'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker, please, for Steve Source. Dr. Steve Trim, who's the Chief Scientific Officer and CEO of Venom Tech, has a thing called Steve Sauce, which is venom-based chili sauce. And I'll tell you, it is awesome.
Is it hot?
Steve also has, it is hot, it's very hot. It's spicy hot and it's gorgeous. It's chili sauce, it's just stunning.
You're dribbling?
Yeah, I know. Oh. And Steve doesn't stop there. Yeah, because he has luxurious hair.
Does he put it in his hair?
No, he has luxurious hair because Steve belongs to an organisation called Scientists with Luxurious Hair.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's he using his hair?
Yeah.
Do we know?
No, he's just got long hair and it's luxurious.
Yeah, but how does he keep it that way?
I don't know. Probably puts venom sauce
Steve,
on it.
Steve, let us know. Tweet us in. What are you putting in your hair, love?
Yeah. Anyway.
It's really important.
Anyway, let's get back to this tweet because Venom Tech and Steve, with his luxurious flowing hair, is live on KMTV talking about Venom Chili Sauce, which you can buy at McNaid's.
Yeah. Wow.
And so he's got three in there. He's got three in one tweet. Yes. And on Saturday, this Saturday coming, Venom Tech will celebrate its 9th birthday.
That's, so huge congratulations.
Yeah.
Nettie, how often do you see people reach their 9th birthday in business?
Oh, quite a lot.
About
every
About
every 9 years.
Every 9 years from start-up.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
No, a lot.
Oh, really?
A lot. Yeah, a
lot. this figure of 95% of businesses fail after 5 years, would you agree?
I think the figure is made up completely, because if you, depending on what you read, it could be 40%, could be 75%, could be 95%. I'm not saying all of them are successful, but I think a lot of them are still there.
I think
it depends what you judge. Sorry,
exactly.
It depends what you judge it on, don't you?
Well, a lot of the problem with this is the fact that it's really simple to start a company.
Yeah.
You just register a company name or something, even a limited company. And loads of people start, I've done it myself, loads of people start companies and then don't do anything.
Yeah.
It's why I'm called Vanilla Web on Twitter. Because at the time I opened my Twitter account, I just registered a company called Vanilla Web. But I didn't do anything with it, but because I couldn't be bothered to change it, I didn't change the Twitter handle. But I registered a company and then I shut it down again. Yeah, because I decided not to use it. So that counts as a business closure, a failure.
Mm.
But it never traded in the first place.
I think the figures are so distorted. I don't think you can give a number to it.
It's also fairly meaningless because you don't know why they shut down. You don't know whether they went bust with debts, whether they were dissolved because they didn't want to do it anymore. You don't know whether they were taken over and threw away the company name but took over the trade. You just don't know. That behind the raw stat, you don't know what went on. So it's a fairly meaningless stat, to be honest.
It is. I think, though, companies like Venom Tech, they've got such a unique product, such a unique way that it needs celebrating a bit differently. You know, there's loads of businesses out there that do very similar things and they just run them differently, and that can be whether they're successful or not. But they've found something so extraordinary, haven't they, with what they do? Mm. And the idea of being in that room with all those spiders, big spiders.
Mm. Yeah.
Been there, seen it, done it.
Wouldn't
do it again.
It's a very, very interesting concept of it. Have you not seen them?
They do.
Wow. Are you scared of spiders?
No.
Well, in that case, you can go.
Thank you.
Spiders, snakes, scorpions, toads.
You can probably describe it better than me. I saw it once years ago. They were at Discovery Park then. Are they still there?
Mm.
Yeah?
Yep.
But basically, they extract the venom and use it for all sorts of things. Apparently now even in chili.
Yeah. people quite often make the mistake of assuming that what they do is make anti-venom, and that's one of the few things they don't do. What they do, sorry, Steve. Steve has a go at me about this because
I'm. Look, he's getting free publicity. So
yeah, I know. But he rings me up afterwards and goes, no, it doesn't work like that at all.
Well, let's make it up.
Because he is a scientist. But basically, they extract venom from various poisonous animals based on how the venom acts to do what it does. So some venoms paralyze, some venoms disintegrate, and some venoms just kill things, yeah? And what they do is they take the venom and they find the active ingredient that does something. So, for instance, there's a particular venom that coagulates blood in the... all of these animals contain the venom as a hunting mechanism. It's how they feed, yeah? And there's some venoms coagulate blood. So you can take the active ingredient in that and use it as an angina drug, effectively, yeah? Because you want the blood to thicken or whatever.
Really,
I'm making
amazing.
This up as I go along.
Yeah.
But so the properties of the venom that are the active ingredient are the thing that interests them.
Yeah, the reverse engineering, yeah. I suppose. What
yeah, and they're reverse engineering the DNA of those things to find the active ingredient that does something specific. They then try to use that as a pharmaceutical aid in helping things. Well, and I happen to know that some of the stuff that they've developed that has gone into full production and is available are things for arthritis and stuff like that. There's a particular, I may have got this wrong, there's a particular, it's a poisonous snail. It's an Amazonian snail, but it's a bit of a big thing. And what it, because snails are slow, what it does is it lives on fish. That's its diet. And as
a snail?
Yeah. It's a water snail. Yeah. And as a fish swims past, it injects it with this stuff, which is really quick acting. And what it does is it melts the bones of the fish. really quickly, and then the snail sucks in the detritus, and that's its nutrient that he lives on. So
fascinating.
Yeah.
It is. It's amazing.
But the active ingredient of that is something that melts calcium. Wow. Yeah. Because that's what bones are. So
I'm loving this, Steve.
It's like
he's going to be on. He's going to be on any minute now. Going, that's complete rubbish, Paul. You made
Steve, bring
that
us up, please. Bring, have we done now the cold of the shit and everything? Because I'm not even with it now. I'm like, bring us up, Steve, and let us know. Very funny.
But in the meantime, from what I remember, it's just got. It's like a zoo, isn't it? It's like tarantulas, and snakes, and all sorts of things, and they go in the mornings, feed them, and extract. The venom.
Wow, you know? How exciting.
So when I say there's not many businesses like that, that's what I mean. They've actually found something really unique and different.
Mm. Love it.
Yeah. So, happy 9th birthday.
Yeah. Where's the cake?
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't go there if I were you. It's either going to contain something very nasty or be very hot chili, but a sauce, Steve's scientific sauce. Go for it.
Wow.
It's great stuff. Chili venom sauce.
This
go
makes me
it.
Laugh. I've just had a tweet from Telka and they've said, don't forget that Business Bunker Radio Show for news and views from Kate. I'm loving that. It seems that we've become quite an opinionated channel.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, news and views.
Well, I'll tell you what, shall we play some cheesy tunage?
Yeah, what you picked?
Well, I picked something for Neil here, to be honest.
Ooh.
Yeah. You're probably fine.
Cars.
Yeah. How I thought of that.
Brilliant.
I sat. Brilliant. Are you impressed now? Yeah, cool.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Do you use social media for your business? Do you understand all things digital? No? Then come to ZC Live. Business owner and TV commentator Zoe Cairns will host a day full of great content for local businesses. Free workshops, inspiring speakers, networking opportunities, top marketing tips, the latest trends. And it's all free. Make your digital marketing more effective with ZC Live. Friday, May the 31st at Strood Academy. Book your free place now at zclive.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent business community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 12th of March. There's a bit of drive, cars.
Why?
Well, because our guest in the second half of the show has an involvement with cars. I probably played it the last time he was on the show as well.
I was just going to say that when we went into it. I thought, I wonder if we played that. We think we're funny, Ian. Yeah. We think we're funny.
Yeah, we like to think we're funny.
Don't
anyway,
we?
Yes, but before we talk to Neil, we've got another guest we're going to talk to shortly. But I think just to get back into the flow of it, we'll do an email or a tweet. It's your choice, Bird.
I've got Women in Business. It's a lunch. It's at Chilston Park Hotel. It's on Wednesday, the 3rd of April, which is a very important date. 11:15 till 2:30. I know, right? There's speakers. We can't crash this one, though, yet, because I've got to finish this. There's speakers. That's Belinda Collins and Katie Day. You need to book on www.wibblywobblyway, which is kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk. Also, on the 3rd of April, what's happening, Mr. Andrews?
Well, nothing. It's the 4th of April that was happening.
Even more.
But it's not happening now.
No way.
Yeah, I meant to tell you. They hadn't sold enough tickets. What it actually was, the reality was...
you know why?
You know why they were scared. Yeah, that's exactly what they said. There was going to be a quiz night and we entered a quiz team and we should have kept it quiet because as soon as they knew we were entering, everybody went, I'm not going there, we don't stand a help in hell. Yeah.
You're serious?
No, I'm serious. They all pulled out. They're going, we can't win.
Well, good.
They got Paul and Bird there, we can't win.
Good.
So nobody else was coming.
Oh, yeah, no. Highly intelligent people.
Yeah.
We're known for that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right.
So,
may our reputation follow before us.
Exactly. Mm. Or after us.
Well, both.
Well, you can have a tailwind and a headwind if you do it on Rodney Marsh, apparently.
Both ways. What's a tailwind?
Yeah. Cool. Anyway, listen, why don't we talk to our first guest? Let's have some common sense and some professionalism around here for a little while. Or we could just talk to Paul. Yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back after a very long break, actually, Mr. Paul Burgess. And just as a bit of background, Paul had a long, because he started very early in life, had a long career in business finance and investment. But he's made a career change and we wanted to talk to him about that. So welcome to the Business Bunker, Mr. Paul Burgess. It's lovely to see you again after such a long time since you were last on. Why don't you give the listeners a little bit of your background and then tell them this epiphany that you've kind of come up with and what you've been doing recently, because it's fascinating.
Yeah, well, thanks very much, Paul, for having me along. It was a long time ago. You were still down on the marsh.
We were, yes. Yeah. So it was an awful long time ago, at least 4 or 5 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, terrible headwind.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Both ways.
Didn't know which way we were blowing down there, did we?
No, my background is I did about 40 years in IT, then moved into corporate finance, and some 9 months ago I thought, I really want to do something different.
Mm.
What can I do? And I've always been into photography. I started taking photographs 60-odd years ago when my father bought me a Brownie 127. Anyone remember Brownie 127?
No. Is that a box thing?
No.
Can you eat it?
I'm getting this blank look from Paul. So
nope.
I thought you were older, actually, Paul.
Right.
I taught photography to GCSE way back in the 90s.
Mm.
And I thought, I want to do something with photography. And so, well, what can I do? I could take pictures and sell them, but you do the maths, even on the back of an envelope, and you've come up with a conclusion. You've got to sell, to make anything like a living, you've got to sell thousands and thousands of pictures.
No
one wants mine.
This sounds a bit like a cuddywumple to me.
Yes.
Does it not to you? Mm. Yeah, go on.
It could be. I'm quite assimilated with a cuddywumple. Yeah. I thought, well, what can I do? Well, I can teach.
Mm.
And I taught photography. Well, let's try again, because when I taught photography the first time round, it was all done on film.
Mm.
It wasn't really digital. And it was sort of a bit of a black art. But really now, with smartphones, everybody is a photographer.
Yeah.
And, why would you want to teach photography? Because everyone can do it. Well, actually, everyone's a writer, because everyone can get a pen and a piece of paper and write, but not everyone can write successfully.
Mm.
So what I did, I put on a couple of events back in July last year, just for free taster events to see what the market was like, and see if anyone wanted to learn how to take photographs. And what I discovered was that there's a lot of people out there who've got really nice cameras, so they've either bought themselves or had them bought for them, and there's an auto setting, and they've never used any of the other buttons because they don't know
what they are, do they?
And so there seems that there's a demand for people who want to take photography from the next stage, from using a phone. And I mustn't knock phones, actually, because I had a student who did the whole of my first term's course using a phone, and her pictures were absolutely amazing, which proves that what Ansel Adams said was the most important part of the camera is the 12 inches behind it.
Yeah, sure.
But I advertised some courses, and I got about 20 people the first term, two evenings a week.
Right.
I also thought, well, let's do some stuff on Saturdays, and I started teaching in Lightroom and it sort of mushroomed.
Mm.
So this term, I've got three courses, three nights a week, about 14 students a course.
All right.
And it's in Hildenborough near Tunbridge, and it's going really, really well.
Mm.
So that's where that's where we've got to, from nothing to teaching 40-odd people photography in 6 months.
That's fantastic. And I hear what you're saying, because the price of technology has plummeted, which is why people can afford top-end cameras if they don't use a phone and they want a full DLR camera or a mirrorless camera. Yeah. He's making it sound as if he knows anything about this. I haven't got a clue. but the interesting thing is we were talking off air about this, is who you're attracting as pupils on this. Give us an overview of the kind of people that are coming along to attend your workshops and classes.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually. It's generally older people, sort of 40 plus.
Right.
Quite a number of people are a good deal older who have just retired and want to take their photography to the next level.
Yep.
But it's also a large number of women.
Right, okay.
It's possibly because of the way I market the courses. I market them on Facebook. And if you look at the demographic of Facebook,
you sure?
It's largely sort of older women who are very active on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Either that or I've just written my adverts totally wrong. I need to talk to Zoe or someone about that.
No, it's fascinating. And I can see the logic behind that as well. And as you know, I mean, younger people tend to use their phones more because they have it about them, and there are different degrees of how people use that and what they care about. You know, there is a big thing about photography, isn't there, with using a mobile phone, that you don't really care. You take 100 pictures. If two of them are reasonable, that's fine. You chuck the rest away. Yeah. Unless you're a Mandarin, and you put them on OneDrive with their other 42,000, selfies that she has there, darling. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess if you've then invested in a decent camera and you get to the point where you've kind of got to the limit of what the automatic settings will do, you start to wonder what the rest of the buttons are going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And whether you ought to press one or not.
Yeah, that can be very tentative to start.
Yeah, yeah.
But what you're saying actually about taking thousands and thousands of photographs, it's really quite interesting, because what I'm finding, there's also an increasing demand now from people who want to go back to traditional stuff,
right,
and start using film again.
Okay.
And I'm teaching, you know, coaching some people in the old skills, making negatives, going into the darkroom, doing prints.
There's always that as a business opportunity. It's like vinyl. It's like vinyl records, isn't it? What goes around comes around, and eventually it becomes a collector's item. It becomes retro. You know, not everything's back on vinyl, but there are a lot of people that swear by vinyl and, you know, just like vinyl because it's not digital. Yeah. So you're going to find that with photography. You're going to find it with books. You know, people move to buying digital books and Kindles and all the rest of it. There'll come a time when somebody goes, this is not available digitally. It is only available as a handwritten book or something, yeah. You know, and people will buy it because of that, because it has that uniqueness about it. Yeah, absolutely. So this is a fairly recent thing in the last few months that you've done, and you've launched a whole new business here, on the back of this, and it sounds like it's going okay so far.
It's going far better than I expected, actually.
Right. He's definitely a cuddywomper, wasn't he? He had no plan here.
He's managing expectations.
The reason that I'm kind of digging at him with this is because I've known Paul for a long, long time, and in the past he was a man for business plans and all the rest of it, because he worked in corporate finance.
To be fair, I actually do have a business
plan. Do you? Okay, I'm pleased to hear it.
And I've got quite an ambitious business plan going forward.
Right.
We're taking things next term to the next stage.
Right.
Next term, I'm moving all my courses into an amazing venue in Tunbridge.
You're going to the pub, aren't you?
Yeah, there's a new pub in Tunbridge High Street called the Beer Cellar. You want to shout out for the Beer Cellar. They're really good guys,
yeah.
Really nice beer, but they've got a wonderful new function room upstairs.
Well, what the guys had a place at Brenchley?
Yeah, the Halfway House.
Yes, yeah,
same
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
And if you've not been there, you should go, because they've taken what was a very large jeweller's shop, and you go in there, and it actually looks like a pub.
Right.
An old-fashioned pub with beams and stuff. I say the beer's good as well. But what we're doing next term is moving all my courses there, and we're going to get out and do a lot more photography. In the evenings, when it's dark, you're limited to what you can do. But we're starting a project, which I think is going to run for a while, which is a photo documentary of Tunbridge.
Okay, got it. Yep.
And I always try and run my courses around projects.
Yeah.
Because it's, to be honest, you don't get very motivated. Just go out and take random photographs. So all of my students do projects. They produce a book at the end of the course of their photographs. And we have an exhibition. Our next exhibition's on the 28th of April, written your diaries, which is going to be at Westrum Brewery. In Westrum.
There's a theme here, isn't there?
Yeah.
Beer and photographs,
yeah. Like photographs of pubs in the Tunbridge area.
No, you could join the group, and that could be your specialised subject.
I don't think I'd get very, very far.
Well, inside the pubs.
Inside the pubs, yes, indeed.
But the idea is that in September we're going to have an exhibition in Tunbridge, which is going to be the first stage, what I think is going to be a longer-term project, actually documenting Tunbridge as a town, because I don't think there's a town that, as such, has done this on any scale. There are individual photographers who've gone around, but this, we're looking at 30, 40 photographers initially, And then who knows what happens next?
Okay, that's an interesting concept, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's something also, if you pitch your area as well, you could franchise that around the country, couldn't you? There's Yorkshire.
They said, did you see that little smile go across his face as he recalled page three of his business plan?
I have not thought of that at all.
Oh. I don't believe you.
Not
yet. But no, it is interesting, isn't it? Because when you localise, that's often when you can nationalise something. That works really well.
Yes, it's really
lots of pubs in Yorkshire as well, I'm sure.
There's lots of good people to be keen to get involved. I do a lot of stuff with someone else I want to give a little shout out to. A guy called Seamus Ryan, who was sort of my teacher and mentor for a few years in Tunbridge Wells. He does amazing stuff. He does amazing workshops, and he's been very supportive. And some amazing photographers I've worked with back in the 80s and 90s, who are now no longer with us, unfortunately. But I found that learning your craft properly is an amazing advantage when you come to try and do projects. Except for there's lots and lots of people out there who sort of learn from YouTube and so on.
Right.
But what they don't get is the constructive feedback. And I'm, a total indulgence. I'm doing a university course, a degree in photography at West Kent.
Oh, are you? Okay. Yeah.
And I'm learning a lot of creative stuff that you just can't get online. I can go online and find out how to do X, Y, Z with my camera or whatever, but actually doing it, and then some say, have you thought of doing that? This interaction. This is what my students seem to enjoy.
Yeah. I think, for a lot of us, learning like that is far better. I'm like you. I can't learn directly from something like that. I was looking at something a couple of days ago about Apple Macs. There's something I needed to know. And I Googled it, and I found a YouTube video that went through an instruction. And I'll rewind it and watch it. No, lost me there. It doesn't always help when it's slightly out of date as well. So the sequence they tell you to do things, it doesn't exist anymore, or, it got changed. Whereas if you've got someone in front of you that knows, you go, that's not there. They go, oh, no, it's been replaced by this. But you don't see that on a tutorial. Yeah, so absolutely. That ability to ask someone that knows is invaluable, isn't it?
And do check the date on when you Google.
Exactly.
When you Google something, how do you do X, Y, Z in Lightroom? And you find that the solution was dated 2013, and then 17 versions on since then.
Exactly. So it's a fantastic new business that you've started, and you've got a project that you're going to unfold, which is a life of Tunbridge, basically, in photographs. Cool. So at the end of this first project in Tunbridge, are we going to see an exhibition of the photographs? Are we going to have a book? Are we going to have both? What do you think?
Well, we're certainly going to have an exhibition, and I've been talking to the leisure guys at the council who are really keen on making space for us at Tunbridge Council Chamber in the castle in September.
Okay.
But we're also going to do one or two books. I love making books.
Right,
it's
okay.
Very easy to do now.
Right.
And it's a way of delivering your photos. There's problem is we take how many photos have you got on your phone?
Yeah, hundreds.
What happens to them?
Nothing.
I
lose them mostly.
At least in the old days, you used to go to the chemist and you get a packet of prints back.
And some negatives.
And you stick them in an album and you might actually look at them. And so I work on the basis that a project's never finished until you've got some sort of hard copy that you can show somebody, either a book or some nice big art-sized prints.
Yep.
And I find I can then move on to another project.
Yeah.
Other than that, it just stays as work in progress.
No, absolutely. Paul, fascinating. It's lovely to see you again and to hear about what you're doing. If people want to find out more about Paul Burgess Photography, your workshops or the work you're doing in Tunbridge, or eventually going to come to the exhibition or acquire a book, what's the best way to find out more about you?
I'm around on Facebook as Paul Burgess Photography.
Right.
And I'm on the web as www.
World Wide Web.
Thank you. paulburgess.photography.
Oh, that's clever.
What it says on the tin.
Yeah, yeah.
And the email is paul@paulburgess.photography. And the Twitter handle is PDB Photos.
Fantastic. The website is on the Kent Business Radio website and will stay there forever. So if you didn't get a chance to write that down, just go to the Kent Business Radio website. This is show number 418 and you can click there and it will take you through to the website. Do follow Paul on the Twitter, PDB Photo.
PDB Photos.
Photos.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, PDP Photos. Do give them a follow on the Twitter and on Facebook, Paul Burgess Photography. Paul, for the moment, thank you so much for that. And we wish you continued success with your lovely new project. And thank you for coming along. And we'll talk to you again soon. Mr. Paul Burgess, Paul Burgess Photography.
Thank you.
We've got a couple of minutes before we join the newsroom again. What you got, Bird?
Well, Paul, I was just going to ask you, really. We heard about what you used to do. How has that supported you to have the business you find yourself with today?
How do you mean, how has it supported me? Funny enough, I still do some corporate finance work. I work for Lucid Property Finance, which is a company that's actually run by my son, and I do business development for him still. But
are those skills that you learnt from your old business immersed into the one you find yourself?
Oh, absolutely. My marketing skills, and I was a sales and marketing guy.
Mm.
I think it's why my business has succeeded, because I got the marketing right. If I'd not got the marketing right, I'd be sitting there with, twiddling my thumbs on Monday
empty
evening,
class.
Talking to myself.
Yeah.
But it really is the marketing and web development. These are all the things I've done in the past. Yeah, you can dig them up and sort of reuse them.
Yeah, yeah. When you were thinking about your marketing, though, did you think, do you know what, it's going to be this group that I want to come and teach? Or was it just, let's just test the potential?
Cody Womble.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to start with, I thought, right, let's test it. I think Facebook, basic psychographic profile of the people I thought I wanted to get to. And where are they likely to be? They're likely to be on Facebook.
Mm.
So I ran some fairly limited Facebook advertising. And I found that, yes, I was beginning, I was getting some hits, getting some take up. Then I refined that. And I'm always working on new ways to market it. And there's some interesting things in the pipeline, I think.
Mm. Right, isn't it?
That's good. That's good. I've had a tweet from Amanda at Butterflies. She says, only 20,000 of my pictures are selfies. Sorry, I maligned her. I've had a tweet from a new follower as well called Bubble Chinese. And they say, hello, Paul. Can we have a shout out, please? Well, you've just been shouted out.
Yeah.
Bubble Chinese, give them a follow on
what
Twitter.
What do they do?
Well, it says how to grow your channel in 2019.
Channel? Oh.
I don't know whether that's...
Radio?
Or...
YouTube?
Channel number 5.
No, that's Chanel, darling.
Oh, is it? Oh, sorry. Well, the easiest thing is to follow them and find out, isn't it, really?
Yeah. So I'm going to do a bit of research while we have a little
consider yourself shouted out.
Yeah, lovely.
Cool. You can do one more thing before we join the newsroom.
Tracy Ferguson, because she just is such a supporter of us.
She's lovely, yeah.
I'm delivering a Be Your Best Self workshop today. I'll be looking forward to catching up with you later today. Only 2 days to go, Paul, until the Medway Careers Fair.
Yep, absolutely.
Which is on exciting
Thursday.
For you.
Yep.
Sponsored by Jobs in Kent, and that's 20 local employers and support organisations.
It's 25 now.
Oh, sorry, she's put 20 plus.
Yep.
So that covers it, doesn't it?
No, it's just I updated it this morning.
25?
Yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. So 25 local employers and support organisations to help job seekers into employment. Have a great show. We will, Tracy.
Fantastic.
Mm.
Yep. It's a free event if you want to come along on Thursday. Starts at 10 o'clock at the St George Hotel, New Road, Chatham. Just come along.
Okay.
It's going to be fun. Loads of things happening, loads of employers, and lots of things to do as well. So look forward to seeing you there. This is a heads up for an event later in the year. Save the date. Put our annual Southeast Construction Exhibition in your 2019 diaries. On Thursday the 26th of September at the South of England Event Centre at Ardingly is the Southeast Construction Show. It's the constructionexpouk.co.uk is the website. Do check it out.
Awesome.
Cool. Go for it.
Book today on the amazing Grow Conference this March and take away valuable techniques to make your business grow. This is at the Mercury of Dartford Brands Hatch Hotel in association with West Kent Partnership. And this is on the 22nd of March. And you can go and book your event tickets here at www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/category/business events.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Bird. We are now going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. And then when we come back, we've got two more fabulous guests to talk to. So let's go over to the newsroom now.
On the hour,